Those that are staying in here with me, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 18. Gospel of Luke chapter 18. Boy, we're having beautiful weather, aren't we?
Yeah.
Woo! This is gorgeous. Can't get any better than this. It's liable to get worse, but... praise the Lord. Such beautiful days these last few days. Luke chapter 18, let's begin with verse 35. We finished with verse 34 last week. Read 35 to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out, cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you today for another opportunity to open your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach your word. We pray you'd suit a blessing to the need of every heart here today. If there is a lost soul in the sound of my voice, I pray you'd convict them, draw them to yourself, and save them. And I pray that every child of God here will be drawn closer to you and blessed. Amen. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus already told his disciples that he's headed down to Jerusalem and what's going to happen to him there. They're going to mistreat him and kill him, and he's going to rise again the third day. But he went right over their head. They weren't catching very much of it. They were a little bit dull. We're sometimes dull, aren't we? The Lord tries to tell us things one time, second time, third time, and we're just sitting there sort of dumb, you know. And the Lord says, wake up, come on, pay attention. Well, that's the way the disciples were at times. Sometimes we think, well, if I were there, what would you be there? What would you be like there? Well, probably about like you are right now. You read the Bible, you read several chapters, and you don't get much out of it. You're a little dull of hearing, aren't you, sometimes? Well, they're on the road to Jerusalem, and Jesus is passing by, and there's a multitude with him, a crowd going with him. And the blind man sitting on the side of the road. Now, how many years that man sat there? There's no telling. You would think in a country as rich as our country is, you wouldn't have any beggars. But we got plenty of beggars. Sometimes they got a sign on the side of the road that says, we'll work for food. Of course, they don't really want to work. They just want money. They don't even want food. They want money for beer, probably. But at any rate, they got the little sign on the side of the road. Now, if you ask me, that's hard work. If I had to stand on the side of the road 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day just to get my bread, I'd rather go to work someplace. I really would. That's hard work for me. I would say, I'd like a nice office with a desk, or maybe someplace I can flip hamburgers or whatever, you know. But anyway, they got their little signs, and a lot of them now don't even have "We'll work for food." My favorite sign is, he said, "Hell, I don't want to work. I just want a beer." The guy was honest. I mean, the guy had that sign sitting on the side of the road. I said, I'm going to give him $4 or $5. And he said, you better not. But we had one honest bum. But if you go down to Guatemala and Mexico and anywhere else around the world, they're not near as rich as what we are. They really aren't. There are lots and lots of beggars. But even there, it is a profession. It's a profession. Now, if a kid's born with a club foot, well, man, he's going to be a beggar. He'll sit out and have that club foot hanging out there, and people walk by and they'll drop something in the pan or whatever, you know. Or some of them fake to be blind. We were in Guatemala and the kids were little, and this man came up and on a Saturday, he hit our house, and Verlene didn't give him any money, but she went and got some of Billy's clothes that fit the little boy. The little boy had a bunch of clothes, just patches all over him, you know. Little old, cute little old kid. And the man brought him up there, and so she goes and gets clothes from Billy and gives them to him, you know. He's, oh, we need help, and they were humble and like this. Well, he forgot where he stopped his run. So the next Monday, just Saturday to Monday, he hits their house again. The kids in the same clothes. Oh, Verlene lit into him. Where are the clothes I gave you Saturday? Why isn't this little boy in those clothes I gave you Saturday? How come? Well, he was wearing his work clothes. You got to understand, see. He was wearing his work clothes. Now, there are legitimate people who really need help. There really are. And it is a shame that we get so callous that we sometimes don't help legitimate people who really need help. And I'm sure there are plenty of people in this country that still need help. But around the world, numbers of them. Here's one man. He was a blind man. Now, I don't know what a blind men can do an awful lot today. Blind men can work computers. Blind men can read books. Blind men can handle different, there's all different kinds of work for them. And it's a tremendous advancement. Tremendous things, what's been done in education, learning how to teach the blind, teach them how to read, and lots of things like that. But in this day, we're talking about with Jesus, what's a blind man going to do on a farm? What's he going to do at any agriculture work? It'll be a pretty, pretty tough time. Anyway, this guy's been begging. He's a beggar. He sits by the side of the road. He's got his cup. He's got his pan. Maybe he plays a little guitar or a lyre or something like this. And as people go by, I don't know. But he's been sitting there for a long time. Evidently, he's a very sincere man. You know, if you walked by the house of the rich man and where Lazarus sat begging out beside his gate, you wouldn't have thought much of Lazarus, would you? But in the 16th chapter of Luke, Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom and the rich man goes to hell. Lazarus was a brother with a name. You know that's not a parable? Jesus never gave a name in a parable. No parable has a name. Lazarus has a name in Luke chapter 16. That's not a parable, that's a picture of hell. But we find Lazarus is a righteous man. And the rich man, who you would think is blessed of God, is the wicked man. You and I, you know, we can't tell. Somebody walks in at the back of the church, he's got a three-piece suit on, $200 pair of shoes, and a Rolex watch, $3,000 on his arm. He says, oh, that must be a great man. God's blessed him so much. Some old guy walks in his work clothes back there, and stinking, smelling a little bit, coming just directly from work. You'd say, well, he's a nothing. We don't need to worry about him. That's eyesight. That's eyesight. But God doesn't look on it that way. God looks on the heart. And the good thing about it is God knows the heart. Isn't that beautiful? Here's a blind man. He hears a multitude passing. And that's not, you know, I don't know how busy the corner was where he sat down week by week, year by year. But all of a sudden there's some commotion. There's something fancy, something different happening. And so he asked the multitude, what's going on? Well, Jesus of Nazareth passing by. Well, I'll tell you what. They didn't have telegraph or telephone, but they had telewoman in those days. And communication went very fast all across the country. They had heard of Jesus. If they'd never been in his presence, they'd heard there's a great prophet in the country. His name's Jesus. He's a miracle worker. Some even claim he's the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That blind man heard that. He's sitting there on the side of the road. They said, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. My opportunity. Do you ever think how narrow the door of your opportunity really is? How narrow the door of your opportunity. Here's a blind man. He's not going to get up and follow Jesus. He's not going to go wherever he goes. He's sitting outside Jericho. Jesus on the way to Jerusalem to die. Jesus doesn't have but a couple of weeks more of life. And he's heading this direction. What if he misses him today? Have you ever thought about it? How narrow your opportunity is? How many of you got a guarantee to be here tomorrow? You got a guarantee? You're going to wake up in the morning, sitting in your bed, get you a cup of coffee, head out for work? Maybe. Maybe. I got a lot of friends that are dead already because I'm old. You can tell you're getting old when you read the obituaries to see who died, see which of your friends passed on. This man hears Jesus is near. He's coming through and he starts hollering. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. But it's a multitude, it's a crowd. I don't know how strong a man he was, no telling. But he hollers out, and the multitude, shut up. What are you getting so upset about? Shut up. You're getting too excited. Just sit back over there and don't get excited. Stay where you've been all your life. That's what the multitude always says, and you get excited about Jesus.
Right.
Get excited about Jesus and go passing out tracts. I'm going to say, shut up. What are you doing out on the streets bothering people? Why don't you get a job? I got a job. That's how I got time. I took money to buy tracts to pay them to you, give them to you free. People are always trying to shut up people who are wanting to come to Jesus. Now, remember just in the chapter, just back a little bit, it said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Somebody wants to come to Jesus, you let them come.
Amen.
Don't you hold them back.
Right.
You don't know your door of opportunity. You don't know how narrow that door of opportunity is. When I was a young man, I wanted a motorcycle. And my dad agreed that I could get a motorcycle, so we went out and we hunted for one. And of course, we never bought anything new. We bought the cheapest bargain we could find and fixed it up if it was a piece of junk. And, I found a nice one. Ooh, it was a nice one. Back in those days, it was $125. That was in the 50s. That was a lot of money. It's not now, but it was a lot of money then. Oh, I wanted that motorcycle. It was so neat and so good looking. And my daddy was one of the tightest bargainers ever. My daddy didn't buy anything new, or a new car. He'd go down and pay cash for a new car. Save his pennies. He didn't borrow anything. Went down and paid cash for that new car. Well, it's $125. I can buy it cheaper than that. I said, Oh, Dad, please. No, I can get it cheaper than that. So we left. Went back the next day, sold. Oh, I was disappointed. We just had a little window of opportunity. You understand what I'm saying? A little window of opportunity. When I was about 25, we went looking for a new dryer for my mother. A used dryer. I'm talking about a new to her. It was out of somebody else's house. It was a used dryer. That's what my daddy bought. And we went over there and we're bargaining. And he's bargaining and they're $10 apart. And I was afraid he's going to lose this dryer. So I just went ahead and bought it over him. Oh, I made him mad. Said I cost him $10. I said, well, you're going to lose it like you did my motorcycle. Oh, boy. You have a window of opportunity in so many things, so many areas. Do you know sometimes you just have a little window of opportunity to witness? That's all you got. You got a day when somebody's ready. You got a day when somebody's convicted. You got a day when somebody is touched by the Spirit of God. You better do your job when you got the opportunity.
Amen.
You got a window of opportunity to get saved. Do you know you just can't get saved whenever you want to? Oh, the gospel is whosoever will. The gospel is call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing of it is, you can't call unless the Spirit of God touches your heart. And if God's touching your heart today, you better respond today.
Right.
If God touches your heart today and you say no, He may not touch you tomorrow or the next day or the next week. You may never get into another service. There's a window of opportunity. This man had a window of opportunity. I don't know how many times Jesus had been through Jericho. You could look it up. You could find it in the scriptures. You could pretty well trace the travels of Jesus as He goes around. But this may have been the only time this blind man ever got that close to Jesus Christ. He had a window of opportunity. He starts crying. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people, shut up. Be quiet. Quit bothering us. Don't bother us. Stop him? No. Any more than a good witness gets stopped because somebody slams the door in his face. You know, I know people leave churches because they get upset. Somebody didn't shake their hand. Somebody didn't like their dress. Preacher preached on something they didn't like. Preacher preached you ought to have your dresses covering your knees and you didn't like that because you like them up on the middle of your thigh.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, it's none of your business. It is my business. That's my business.
That's right.
Cover it up, ladies. You might tempt some people. You might gross some other people out. Just simple thing. Cover it up. That's modesty. Amen? Or oh me. He had an opportunity and he wasn't going to shut up. I've been preaching 45 years. When I first started preaching, the very first year had people tell me to shut up. I don't want to hear it. I've walked into this neighborhood. I don't know how many times I've covered the neighborhoods around this church. But I walked in this neighborhood. Brent and I one time were out. And a guy out there with a motorhome. He was washing his motorhome. And I started talking to him about the Lord. He did not want to hear it. That's all right. I'm giving you an opportunity. You may not know the opportunity that's knocking at your door, but I'm giving you an opportunity. That opportunity is to find God. It's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to God. When I knock on that door and give them the word of God, that's God beseeching them through us. Wow. Oh, shut up. Keep still. Be quiet. Don't bother us all the time. Some of you witness to your family and your family don't want to hear you anymore. Well, I don't know when it's enough. Sometimes I guess you can back off and say it's enough. But be sure you've done it. Be sure you've done it. Well, this man was not going to be put off. Well, that's me. I remember one time I was telling the students in one of my classes the other night. I got out of service, had two kids and a wife. And I'm trying to go to college because I got saved in the service, surrendered to preach. And I figured a preacher needed a college education. So I'm going to college. I'm working at whatever I can get. And at this particular time, I'm selling cemetery plots door to door. Well, the boss guy, he really liked, oh, you're going to make a great salesman. You're going to make a great salesman. You know, he's really pumping me up. And because all I want to do is make a little money to eat on, you know, pay some bills. Actually, my father was really supporting us. I didn't really want him to do it, and we had a big argument about it, and so he decided, well, I'm going to hire Verlene to take care of my grandbabies. That's how he helped me through college. He hired my wife to take care of my grandbabies, his grandbabies. Any rate, but I'm working and doing everything I can, and this guy said, I've got a real hot prospect for you. Okay, gave me the address. Knocked on the door, young woman there. I said, I'm from such and such a place, and I went through the spiel that I'd been taught and whatever, and she breaks down and starts crying. I don't want to hear about death. I don't want to hear about dying. I don't want to hear about... Boy, she just goes through the spiel, and she's booing in the door. What am I doing? Hey, I'm making this poor woman cry. All I want to do is make a few bucks. I went back to the man and said, I quit. I will bother people for the gospel. Oh, I'll bother you for the gospel. I will bother people about hell, but I'm not going to bother them about buying a cemetery plot or a new suitcase or a new telephone or whatever it might be. So I've been bothering people 45 years. I knock on doors and I bother people. I confront people. I preach to people. I've published things in the paper millions of times. We preach the gospel to people. I'm willing to confront you because the gospel is that important. Getting your window of opportunity to find Jesus Christ as your Savior is that important. There's nothing more important in all the world. But be careful you don't miss your window of opportunity. And that's what this beggar was thinking about here. I'm going to miss him. And he cries louder. Somebody said, you're too long, too loud, too much. Wait till you hear me when the shout comes. I'm going to be even louder yet. Amen. Best thing ever happened to me is I got saved. Amen. And God changed my life. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen.
He cries so much the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus heard him. And he stops. And he tells him, bring him to me. And the man's brought up to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, what will you that I do to you? What do you want? What do you want me to do? Lord. Notice what he called him. That I might receive my sight. He said, receive your sight. That's simple. Thy faith has saved thee. Now, I want to bring a little point here. What you get from God is going to be by faith. If you give money, if you give time, if you work, if you're a good person, if you do good deeds, there is a result, reward for those things. Don't get me wrong. But real advancement in the Christian life, starting from forgiveness of sins and salvation, all the way up to walking close to God, does not come by your works. Never does. It always comes by faith.
Amen.
Now, what is faith? Taking God at His word. That's a simple definition. What is faith? It's believing what God said enough to act on it. This man right here went to Jesus Christ, asked Him for his sight. He believed he could get it, and Jesus gave it to him. Now, don't you think that was a great day for him?
Amen.
I've seen the time when my pain went away. That was a great day.
Really?
You ever lived in pain? I know some people live in constant pain. They're always in pain. And you know, that'd be a great day. I was actually blinded by diabetes. I could not recognize, but I could see some light. I could see figures. But when I was 50 years old, I could not recognize my daughter's apart this far. I could look at my little girls, and I could not tell one from the other. Man, it was a good day when they operated on those eyes. I walked out of there seeing again. Woo! I'd gotten so bad, I had said, Verlene, you got to go with me to read the street signs. I couldn't read street signs visiting with my car. Sure was good to get those eyesight back. How about a man blind from birth? How about a man been blind for 20 or 30 years? I was just blind a few months. Weeks. I'd like to have my sight back. What do you want? I want my sight. He said, receive your sight. He gave it to him. Now look what he does with it. It says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You know what he did? He got up and followed Jesus. I've got some confidence when somebody says they get saved, and after they get saved, they get baptized. After they get baptized, they tell a few of their neighbors and friends, their family, and they come to church, and they go, and they do something for Jesus. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in a fellow that tells me, I got saved when I was 12 years old at a camp meeting at a Baptist church down here, and I got baptized when I was 12, haven't been back to the church since, and he's 50. And I say, you're saved? Yeah, I'm saved. What do you have to show that you're saved? You don't love God's people. You don't love God's word. You don't love God's work. Now, why do you think you're saved? There ought to be a change in your life.
Amen.
Now, this guy showed a change. He starts glorifying God. Praise the Lord, he says. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm seeing. Oh, you look good. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Woo,
there was a change in his life. And it said he followed Jesus.
Amen.
He gave up his job of begging.
Amen.
And he started following Jesus and glorifying God. And when all the people heard it, they praised God.
Amen.
They praised God. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? You know, when God does something really good for you, you ought to praise Him.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
When you get as old as I am, if you wake up in the morning, you praise God. Lord, thank you for another day. Some of my friends may have met you already, but thank you for another day. Praise the Lord. Look at chapter 19. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, a half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. A beautiful story of Zacchaeus. We got a song. Bernie and Debbie might sing it for us. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Got a little song about Zacchaeus. I don't mean for you to sing it. I'm just thinking there's a little song about it. But he was a short man. And in the crowd, they didn't have stands. They didn't have tiered seats. So what's this short man going to do in amongst all these other people? He can't see. And so he says, well, he's going down this way. And he runs down there and gets up in a sycamore tree. Well, that makes good sense. He's hanging out over a limb. It's a rich man. This ain't some farmer, some herdsman or something. It's a rich man in his rich clothes, and he's up there hanging over a limb of the tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus. I've heard all these things. I just want to see him. I just want to see him. Some people just wanted to touch him. Somebody just, I just want to see him. People are that way about famous people. Elvis Presley would wear these scarves and get all his sweat on them and throw them down, and the girls would go, ah. Have a little Elvis's sweat. It's amazing. People have lots of ideas. Zacchaeus, who is Zacchaeus? He was chief of the publicans. Now, I've told you what a publican is. A publican is a Jewish tax collector collecting taxes for the Roman government. He's hated. Most people don't like IRS agents right now. And they're from our own country collecting taxes for our own government. And most of them are really honest folks. These guys, they charged over and above what they had to do, and that's how they made their money. And so they were very much hated. They were considered turncoats and traitors and worse than prostitutes and other sinners. Although they may have been very rich, and he was very rich, they were not looked upon well by the average Jew. So Zacchaeus is a publican, and he is rich, it says. And he's a little man, short stature. So he runs ahead and he climbs up in this sycamore tree. And you can see this guy with his rich robe. You know, today you can't tell a rich man from a poor man. A rich man might walk in boots and jeans and an old hat. And he might be loaded. And the poor guy, the laborer, he's walking around in a three-piece suit because he wants to look good. And you can't tell. You can't tell. And we've got clothes so well that some of you can maybe could tell the difference between a $3,000 suit one of these basketball coaches wears and a $79.99 out of Burlington. But I don't see much difference. I haven't seen where they looked at, but you can tell. I'm not wearing no $3,000 shirt. But they could in their day. You dressed according to your station in life. You look at a man's dress and you could tell exactly what he was. Even when the United States was first started, it was against the law for certain people that were common people to wear certain kinds of dress. Clothes and things like that. Even certain colors. The purple. Well, that's for royalty. And so the different colors meant a difference. Well, if you're just a common man, well, you couldn't put on airs and put on clothes like somebody else. You could look immediately under that tree and see that's a rich man. Poor man didn't have clothes like that. But that's a rich man climbing up in a tree because he wants to see Jesus. Now, you and I don't know the hearts of people. And we can't tell even if they come down and talk to us much about their heart. It's a very difficult thing. God knows the heart. God looks upon the heart. God searches the heart. You and I see the face. We see the expression. We see the emotion. We hear the words. We look at the outward. But we don't see down into the heart. Just like the blind man before him in Jericho, he's heard about Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. So he makes this trip and climbs up into that tree. Now Jesus is walking along and he sees him and he knows him by name. Isn't that beautiful? You see, God knows you by name. You remember over in the book of Acts, seven sons of one Sceva decide they're going to do what Paul and the other apostles are doing, Paul and Peter and them. Paul and Peter then walk up to somebody and say, devil be gone, in the name of Jesus Christ, be delivered. He was. Well, they take Peter's handkerchief and go heal somebody. Peter, give me a handkerchief. I want to go, I got a crippled guy over here. Boom. You had to do it. One of these seven guys said, well, shoot, let's take the name of Jesus and let's do it. And these seven sons of this priest named Sceva, They went to cast out the devil and one old guy, and he said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. Who are you? And threw them all out, hurt them. One guy just threw them all out of the house. They said, you know, this Jesus business ain't so easy either. They thought it was. Jesus knew his name. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. And Jesus knows your name. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. Out of all of God's children, he knows your name. I just have five, and I sometimes forget who they are. Eddie, Billy, Noel, Linda, Dyra, Susie, whoever you are, come here. You get upset, and you get mad, and you start. See, now if you only got one kid, you don't have big a problem. I mean, if you got a problem remembering the name of one kid, you're in real trouble. You got five kids, there are going to be days you don't know who's who. And you sure don't know who broke it. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at thy house today. I was holding revival meetings, and I was in a Baptist church and out of Little Rock, about 60 miles out of Little Rock. I flew into Little Rock. This is in the 1960s. I flew into Little Rock, and this pastor, we never met. He just called me and invited me for a meeting, and he'd heard of me. And so we're meeting at the airport. And so I don't know who I'm seeing, you know. I don't know what's happening. I'm getting off plane with another 100 people, and there's a bunch of people sitting out there. And of course, I see this guy, and it looks like it might be him. I walked to him. I said, are you the pastor of such and such a church? He said, no, but I'm the one that keeps him from having one. He was just saying that he was a poor pastor, you know. He was being humble. Anyway, I went out with him, and he had a good church. Rough church, but it was a good church. But he didn't have, you know, we put a sign-up sheet and had a revival meeting out here. Okay, Monday, the Royals are going to visit. And Tuesday, the Dalross are going to take him. And Wednesday, the Kincaids are going to take him or whatever. He's going to be at our house at 12 or 2 or 3, and the ladies know when he's going to show up. This fellow stands up Sunday morning, and we're preaching. He said, well, we're going to be visiting. And where we stop, you can fix us a dinner. That's the way we did it. All week long. He didn't call him ahead, didn't tell him, he would drop in, Aunt Susie, we're going to eat lunch with you today. Okay, and she'd go in and fix it. And we just went that way all across the area. We visited every day, knocking on doors and visiting people. And we would get about 11, 11:30, he'd pull into somebody's house, some lady's house, and say, we're going to eat with you today. And they would say, okay. Well, you see, he got it from Jesus. You know, I was a little taken aback at it. I was a little embarrassed by it. You know, I would never do that. But he got it from Jesus. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to buy at your house today. Zacchaeus, you're going to feed me lunch. Zacchaeus, we're going home with you today. He got it from Jesus. Don't criticize him too much. He's got some scriptural precedent here for it. And he says, verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Well, it didn't embarrass Zacchaeus. It didn't put Zacchaeus off. He said, well, come on in. He didn't say, you got to give me a day to clean my house. You ever heard that? You invited who? When? I've been in trouble most of my life. We're having how many for lunch? I used to be very hospitable. I'm not so much anymore. We got old and moved out in the country. So far back in the sticks, we got a pipe of sunshine to us. But at any rate, we used to never know how many we were going to be feeding. I said, add a little water to the beans. It'll be all right. Now, he received him joyfully, and the people looking around didn't like it. When they saw it, they all murmured. Now, doesn't that sound like human beings? That sounds like a good church. When they saw it, they all murmured. You don't pastor 45 years without getting that down pretty good. Most everybody, when they leave, they have roast pastor rather than roast turkey. Half of your trip home, what's wrong with Brother Lindell? And they said, look at him. He's going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. He could have come to my house. I'm righteous. He's going to be guest with that chief of the publicans, that rich Zacchaeus. He's going to be guest with a man that's a sinner. And they murmured and complained about Jesus. See, that shows you what they didn't know. If you know who Jesus is, how do you question anything? You ever hear Peter say, "Not so, Lord"? That's a contradiction in the one sentence. How do you tell the Lord not so? Where do you get off telling the Lord not so, Lord? If He's Lord, it's so. Oh yeah, I can tell you not so. You can tell me not so, but the Lord? Come on. They murmured against the Lord Jesus Christ because He went with Zacchaeus to spend the day. Well, I can think of a lot of reasons. You could say, well, Zacchaeus is a rich man. He's not going to put him out if he goes and eats off him. That'd be a good reason. Zacchaeus, rich man, got a big house, got plenty of room for him. It's not any problem. That'd be another good reason. Some people, it'd be a hardship to move in on them and they have to take care of you. But I tell you, the real reason is because Zacchaeus' heart. Zacchaeus had a heart ready. You know his little time reference? His little window of opportunity? He had a heart ready. You know how I know? Because it happened. I mean, this is Zacchaeus' time. Zacchaeus sees Jesus. He gets invited to fellowship with Jesus. He brings him into his house and he listens to him and fellowship for a while. I don't know how long Jesus spent there. But whatever time he talked, Zacchaeus came to a decision. It's a tremendously beautiful decision. I hear Zacchaeus badmouth different times in sermons, and you're welcome to think of him as you want, but I think of him a little better than I hear most of the time. Zacchaeus stood, said unto the Lord. I don't know how long Jesus has been fellowshipping with him, visiting with him, talking to him, praying with him, whatever. The half of my goods I give to the poor. I'd say that's a pretty generous statement. You want to take everything you got today and just give half of it away to poor people? Some of you righteous, religious people, you saved people headed to heaven, you don't give half your stuff away? I think you ought to sell your house and give half of it to the poor. You really love the Lord? We're going to see how much you love the Lord today. Ooh. If you ever cheated anybody, you got to give them back four times. Not 4%. Four times. 400%. If you cheated them out of $100, you got to give them $400. $1,000, $4,000. And he didn't say he ever cheated anybody. Now I've heard, you know, of course, tax collectors, they were famous for collecting more than they were supposed to and keeping that, and that's how they got rich. So maybe he was just a very good man. Not all rich people are crooks, by the way. Some rich people are just good, hard-working people. And they know what to do with money. Evidently, I don't. God never gave him very much of it. And I know why, because I couldn't handle it. He always kept me poor. He tried to keep me humble by doing it, but he didn't make it on the humble part, but he did keep me poor. The half of my goods I give to the poor, Lord. I'm a rich man. I'm going to figure it up, and I'm going to help a bunch of poor people. Well, that'd be all right. That's pretty good. I haven't heard hardly anybody give more. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he's wanting to talk to him, said, what I need to do to get eternal life? And he said, why'd you call me good? He's seeing if he knows he's God or not. And then he said, well, I'll keep the commandments. He said, well, I've done all these things. Well, you lack something yet. Sell all that you got. He didn't tell him to sell half. He said, sell all. Sell all that you got. Give it to the poor and come follow me. Well, he didn't make any demand like that on Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus just up and does it voluntarily. I'm going to give half what I got to the poor. And if anybody can accuse me of ever cheating them, I'll give them four times. I'd say that's a pretty good statement. I'll restore him fourfold. You know what's really important? It's not money. My dad had a saying. Remember, my dad, he lost everything in the Depression. And that definitely marked him. You go through a depression, it'll mark you too. My daddy said, if it only costs you money, it's cheap experience. Now, I've been upset a few times because I really lost some money. Lost something that cost me something. And what am I going to do? Dad would say, son, if it only costs you money, it's cheap experience. You know what it could have cost you? It could have cost you an eye or a leg. Could have cost you a child. Could have cost you a marriage. Could have cost you life. A lot of people's experience, They don't get the chance for a second one. Used to go to work every morning about 7 o'clock on 410. Had a young man, had him a beautiful Kawasaki motorcycle. Red and white and striped, and man, it was brand new and it was gorgeous. And we'd be going to work and traffic's going about 60 and he's whipping in between us. Every morning. Remember one day I said, you know, I hope that boy lives long enough to get smart. He didn't. Within a month, he's laying smashed up all on the side of the thing. He's dead. Motorcycle trashed. He didn't live long enough to get smart. You don't know. You better take your window of opportunity when you got it. Zacchaeus took his. The blind man took his. You need to take yours. You only get so many windows of opportunity to do certain things. There's times you can be a help to somebody. You can be a witness to somebody. Let it pass. You'll never get the door again.
That's right.
Never. There are other things you can get an opportunity over and over and over again. But that's all right. That doesn't change the opportunity you may get just one time in your life. And it happens over and over again. Day after day, week after week, you get a one-shot opportunity to touch somebody. Whether you touch them or you don't, that's up to you. But Zacchaeus took his opportunity and he said, you know, Lord, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fold. Sounds pretty good to me. Jesus said unto him, and here's the clincher. This day is salvation come into this house. Did the guy get saved? Well, according to Jesus, he got saved. Some people have a problem with the thief on the cross in Luke 24. Well, I don't have any problem with a thief on the cross at all.
Amen.
Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. We're going to see the old thief. He never did get baptized. He never gave a testimony to anybody. He never gave half his goods to the poor. He never got up and lived for Jesus. Never preached the gospel. Never helped anybody else get saved. He's going to be in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus said so. Well, here's old Zacchaeus, rich old publican. This day is salvation come to this house. He said the man got saved. Praise the Lord. He said, for as much also as he's a son of Abraham. At this time, Jesus is a Jewish prophet preaching to a Jewish people. Remember the Syrophoenician woman that came to him and said, Lord, heal my daughter? And he said, no, you don't belong to us. He said, I'm come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, that's what his ministry was. Well, this guy was a Jew. It was the right time for him, and it was before Jesus went to the cross, and he said, for as much also as he is a son of Abraham. Now, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, is verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came to make us all good. Good little boys go to heaven, bad little boys go to hell. That's a lie. That's a great big lie taught by religion all over this town this morning. In Sunday school classes and churches and pastors all over are teaching good little boys, good little girls go to heaven, and bad little boys and bad little girls go to hell. That is a lie. You know why? There are no good little boys and no good little girls.
That's right. Amen.
That's your problem. Everybody's a sinner.
Right.
You say, aren't there really good? Yeah, there's some good kids and there's bad kids. Yes, there's some kids that are just mischievous and there's some that are rat punks. Scum. Yeah, there's a difference. But when it comes to salvation before God, everybody's a sinner. Everybody needs a Savior.
That's right.
All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. When you and I get so busy doing other religious work, we forget the lost, we've missed out on what Jesus came for. I don't care how big your church is or how much money you got or what all you can do. If you get to the place, I don't care whether you're successful or not, if you get to the place you don't have an interest in lost souls, you've missed Jesus' point. Nothing's more important than that. Oh, I like for the church to run smooth. I like all the missionaries to get their money. I like everything to work fine. I like for us never to have a fuss and a fight. I like for all of us to be sweet. We can't forget. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we need to be seeking those that are lost.
Amen. That's right.
If you're lost today, Jesus is seeking you. If you're lost today, Jesus will save you. Well, praise the Lord. I enjoyed it. Amen. See you next week.